right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Today is October 29th, 2025. And our top story this morning, the biggest accounting fraud in history, it just got even bigger. I am, of course, talking about AI darling NVIDIA, who has seen their market cap rise to a number now exceeding $5 trillion. Trillion with a T, I shit you not. Look, the company has found an endless supply of greater fuels to continue, greater fools continue bidding up the stock. Right? A list that now includes people like Kathy Wood and, you know, former federal inmates with antisocial personality disorders, all kinds of people bidding up shares of this company. On news yesterday at their GTC conference, they announced a slew of deals that are all, of course, self-funded, NVIDIA buying chips from themselves in new joint ventures with companies like Uber, Stellantis, Lucid, Nokia, CrowdStrike, Palantir, Eli Lilly, all getting money from NVIDIA to buy NVIDIA's own chips so NVIDIA can report those revenue growth numbers. Round and round we go. Anybody getting dizzy yet? I don't know. So, look, $5 trillion. That's more than like the GDP of California. I'm sure that's fine. I'm sure this is going to end really well for the average person. China's trade deal is also propelling the stock this morning. There are rumors that export controls on semiconductors might be relaxed somewhat. I'm not sure the Chinese want to buy them, but hey, there it is. Look, all of these deals are happening. This big rise in NVIDIA is happening right as we've got big tech earnings. It is going to be a day today. We got a lot on the hook. So after the bell, we've got earnings from Microsoft, Alphabet, and Meta. Alphabet being Google's parent company, obviously. And those are the three big hyperscalers. I guess there's a fourth if we count Amazon. They report later this week. And of course, nobody really cares about the earnings with these companies. I mean, they're calling it an earnings call. They should be calling it the spending call, because the number everybody wants to hear, the number everybody's like, oh boy, I can't wait, can I wait, is their CapEx, their capital expenditure plans. How much money will they feed into the furnace, the funeral pyre of wealth that is the AI bubble? We've seen rumors, we've heard hints from, especially from Microsoft, that they may be planning on slowing down their CapEx soon, but we haven't actually seen that. They're still pouring money on that fire. And so far, they've been rewarded for it. And I've come to call this the great game of CapEx chicken, right? They're in a contest to light their own money on fire, and whoever comes to their senses first loses. Sooner or later, they got to show return on investment, which none of them have, because AI doesn't make money. AI loses money at every step in the chain, with the exception of the hardware providers, namely NVIDIA. So all three of those names after the bell. It's going to be a busy afternoon. Oh, we've also got the Federal Reserve today. That's fun. The Fed is largely expected to cut rates. No big surprise there. That's virtually guaranteed. And a lot of people are expecting the end of quantitative tightening. That's going to be an interesting one. Listen to what Jerome Powell says about that. We'll see if Powell says anything about AI valuations. Will he say anything about the series of isolated events in private credit and, you know, tightening conditions and liquidity in the bond market? The reverse repo is basically gone now. We're down into single-digit billions, which means all the excess liquidity that was sloshing around the banking system has now been exhausted by quantitative tightening and monetary expansion. So is the Fed going to end QT? Probably. Are they going to start QE up right away? Well, that depends on how many isolated events we continue to have. We've also got some movement on the trade war front this morning. Two big ones. China has bought their first cargoes of United States soybeans this year. Largely symbolic gesture. It was 180,000 tons of soybeans that they bought. You know, that is a drop in the bucket versus what they typically buy on an annual basis. But a symbolic gesture it is. They are finally moving some soybeans here. U.S. farmers not out of the woods yet. It's been a really tough year, notably for soybean farmers. But at the very least, some cargo is moving now. And we've also got news from the South Koreans. Apparently, we are close to a trade deal with the South Koreans, a deal that we supposedly already made, but they're trying to finalize it at this Asian Pacific summit in South Korea. Both sides sounding a positive note this morning on this $330 billion investment South Korean companies are going to be making in the United States. But one talking point is missing still, the currency swap lines. Will the Treasury give them that swap line so that they can make these dollar investments without burning through their own USD reserves, which they need to support their own currency? So we still haven't heard anything about that. I suspect that remains a sticking point in those negotiations. We've also got earnings season in full stride this morning. We got a couple of big ones. Boeing reported they took a $4.9 billion charge associated with further delays on the 777X jetliner. That plane is now, I think, 7 years behind schedule. So the 777 is 7 years late. That's fun. CVS also took a $5.7 billion charge based on writing down the value of their Oak Street primary care clinics for senior citizens, which they paid way too much money for back in 2023. Caterpillar posted better than expected earnings. Soaring demand for diesel generators. Now, this is interesting. All the big tech companies that 3 years ago were telling us we all need to give up our vehicles and turn off the heat in our homes and eat freaking lesser arthropods for lunch, dinner, breakfast, all that stuff because climate. Well, now they've got these chatbots that they want to run and there's not enough power to run them. So they're all putting these big trailer mounted diesel generators on their data centers, you know, for the climate. Oh, that's right. Big tech is full of shit. I forgot. Sorry. Let's move on, shall we? We've also got Mercedes-Benz. They saw a 12% decline in vehicle sales at Mercedes-Benz. Now, that's interesting. We have seen virtually every luxury automaker in Europe report major declines in sales this year. And, you know, here stateside, the story is the K-shaped economy, right? The luxury spending is keeping the whole economy afloat, even though 90% of everybody else is doing awful. Well, then why are the luxury car makers all reporting big declines in sales? Are they buying luxury American cars? Are they all buying Cadillacs and Lincolns instead of Mercedes, Jaguar, Porsche, Aston Martin? I'm sure there's a few more. All of these luxury makers are getting absolutely clobbered here. So I wonder, is this K-shaped narrative at risk as well? Also on the automotive front, Honda is announcing that they are halting North American car production off of fallout from the Nexperia fiasco that's going on between the U.S., the Dutch, and the Chinese. They're out of chips, and so they're halting. I've got stories this morning. They're halting a plant in Ontario and a plant in Mexico. So another chip shortage for vehicles. Well, that's great. Remember, the chip shortage was a major contributor, besides monetary expansion, obviously, to the inflation that we saw earlier this decade. Are we going to see a big surge in auto inflation, even as all these auto companies are filing for bankruptcy and subprime loans and auto ABS are all going belly up? And speaking of those subjects, we've got one company reporting earnings after the close today that you want to keep a very close eye on. And by keep a close eye, I mean expect fraud. We'll give you the name of that company towards the end of the show. And one more. This is an interesting one. We've got a 2020s bingo update. I don't know if it's terrifying or hilarious, maybe a little bit of both, but we're going to have to talk about this one at the end of the show. Oh, this decade, the things we have seen, and we're only halfway through it, folks. We've got a lot to talk about this afternoon. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance, shall we? Oh, and this is when I say, y'all hit that like button and that subscribe button right next to it, you new guys, so you can come on back tomorrow and have your coffee with the Melonheads because we do this one every single day. And, well, right now the market is higher here, about 20 points higher, 0.29% for the S&P 500 ahead of the opening bell. We've had some ups and downs this morning, but still higher. The Dow, meanwhile, is up by 132 points, about a third of a percent higher ahead of the open. And the NASDAQ is leading the way higher by 113 points, 0.44% higher for the NASDAQ in lieu of absolute catastrophe number go up. Meanwhile, the DXY, 98.86, higher by 12 basis points here, still under that 99 threshold, but the dollar's a little bit stronger this morning. We've got a mixed bag in the bond market. The short end of the yield curve is lower, no doubt anticipating the Fed's move this afternoon, and yet the long end is a little higher. That's right, because the Fed doesn't directly control the long end. They can manipulate it with their balance sheet, but they don't control it outright. The 30-year Treasury, 4.556, that's higher by almost one basis point. The 10-year, 3.989, higher by a half a point. The 2 years at 3.496, higher by a fraction of a point. And the 1 month is down almost four basis points, 3.9 3.37, expecting that 25 basis point cut from the Fed this afternoon. Looking over at the commodities board, it looks like metals are catching a bid here. We've had a pretty brutal one-week sell-off in the shinies. Well, they are up this morning. Maybe the Fed's having a little bit to do with that. Maybe the fact that the biggest accounting fraud in history is now worth $5 trillion. Maybe that is also driving some demand for metals. Spot gold, $4,010, up 59.5 bucks this morning, 1.51% higher. Meanwhile, December front-month gold futures, $4,025. That's up by $42, almost $43, or 1.08% higher. Looking at silver, we have got spot shiny, $48.19. That's $1.13 higher, up by 2.4%. You'll notice that front-month December contract, just a little bit lower than that, $48.15. Higher by 84 cents or 1.78%, but 2 cents lower than the spot price. That's interesting. Yesterday, we were back into contango, which I had said it looks like the shortage of silver in London was over because we were back into contango. Now, 2 cents here, 2 cents of backwardation with the front month contract being a couple pennies cheaper than the spot price. I'm not super excited about that, not to make a big deal. But we did finally go back into contango where it belongs, and now we're here in backwardation. Does that mean the shortage in London might be making a comeback? Not yet. Not yet. But that's one to keep an eye on. Watch that arbitrage opportunity. It played a big role in that obscene move in gold and silver recently. Copper, meanwhile, 1.09% higher this morning. That is a new record for copper. And by the way, I suspect this breakthrough, if you can call it a breakthrough, optimism for a breakthrough with the trade deals with the Chinese and the South Koreans contributing to that move in copper this morning. Platinum and palladium are joining in, up 1.6% and 1.36% respectively. The PGM metals are also running here. Oil is suspiciously quiet. If there's all this optimism about trade, why is oil not moving? It's unchanged at $60.15. For December WTI futures, keep an eye on that one. I'd expect oil to confirm this move in copper. Looking over at Bitcoin, we're a little bit lower than we were yesterday, but not by a whole lot, $113,430. We were over at one point yesterday, we peaked about $116,000. So we're down off those highs. Just standard reminder, guys, be careful on leverage with Bitcoin. I know my Bitcoin perma bulls get upset when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, guys. Crypto winter is here. Be careful borrowing money to buy Bitcoin. All right, here's the big one this morning. NVIDIA CEO downplays AI bubble fears as he enlists new partners. Oh, really? Okay, the man responsible for the biggest accounting fraud in history downplays fears of the biggest accounting fraud in history. A shocking development, I know. And yet there it is. NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang announced a flurry of new partnerships and dismissed concerns about an AI bubble, saying the company's latest chips are on track to generate $500 billion in revenue. Congratulations, you're the a-hole to spout off the biggest random number unsubstantiated by facts today. Yeah, $500 billion in revenue. Oh, we're on track to have $500 billion in revenue. Are we doing that? Like just make up imaginary numbers in the future and report them as if it's money in the bank? I mean, it worked for Oracle. I mean, you animals out there, you bid that stock up like crazy when they did that. So Jensen's going to get in on that. Or are we going to get some remaining performance obligation statistics when NVIDIA reports? Probably. The Blackwell processor, NVIDIA's flagship AI accelerator, and the new Rubin model are fueling an unprecedented surge of sales growth through 2026, Wang said Tuesday at a company presentation in Washington. The event, NVIDIA's first GTC conference held in the nation's capital, highlighted the partnerships that the company is forging across the industry and the government. The chipmaker is teaming up with Uber, Palantir, CrowdStrike, among others, aiming to ensure its technology remains at the heart of the AI frenzy, or the AI mania, as I call it, and NVIDIA unveiled a new system to connect quantum computers with its artificial intelligence chips. Quantum computing, that's the next shiny new thing that Silicon Valley and Wall Street are going to go bonkers for. But much of the presentation focused on the AI industry reaching a turning point. Huang's argument, artificial intelligence models are now powerful enough that customers are willing to pay for them. Not really. Show of hands or show of comments. How many of you guys watching right now pay for an AI product, pay for like the premium membership of ChatGPT or pay for the Claude thing. I suspect there's some of you guys that work in software, and maybe you pay for Claude. I hear software engineers are finding that useful. But pretty much anybody else I talk to just uses the free version, which means they lose, the companies lose money when they provide that for you. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of nopes in the comments here. Nope city, population us. Anyway, that will turn, that in turn will justify the costly build out of computing infrastructure. I doubt it will. Here's some of the deals that were announced. And again, every single one of these deals involves NVIDIA funding these joint ventures, which means NVIDIA is buying chips from themselves just so they can make a dotted line to these other companies and say, oh, you see, these guys love our product. Agreement to power a fleet of 100,000 self-driving Uber vehicles, which don't exist, with NVIDIA technology. Part of a collaboration with Stellantis will be among the first automakers to deliver robo-taxis. I hear a lot about robo-taxis, mostly them crashing into shit. A partnership with automaker Lucid Group to develop an automotive autonomous vehicle platform. There's that robo-taxi thing again. Can we get some humanoid robots in here, maybe? An NVIDIA investment of $1 billion in Nokia, so Nokia can spend $1 billion on NVIDIA chips. All right, Nokia, there's a name I haven't heard in a while, not since the first Transformers movie anyway. A CrowdStrike collaboration to develop always-on, continuously learning AI agents for cybersecurity. Buzzword, buzzword, buzzword. A Palantir pact that will pair NVIDIA's technology with the company's Ontology platform. I have no idea what that is. As a matter of fact, I have no idea what Palantir even does. Neither do the people buying Palantir stock, but there it is. Lowe's companies will be one of the first adopters, NVIDIA said. And a plan with Eli Lilly to build the world's most powerful supercomputer owned and operated by a pharmaceutical company. It'll rely on 1,000 of NVIDIA's Blackwell AI accelerators, which NVIDIA is probably paying to buy from themselves. So all of these stories, NVIDIA desperate to show, hey, look, all these companies are adopting our product, even though nobody is making money on them. Nobody except NVIDIA, that is. And of course, we've got optimism of the China trade deal. NVIDIA shares soar as Trump fuels hopes of China Blackwell sales. NVIDIA shares extended their dramatic ascent to a record after U.S. President Trump said he'll discuss the chipmaker's Blackwell artificial intelligence processors with Chinese leader Xi Jinping, putting the company on track to become the first $5 trillion business by market value. We'll be speaking about Blackwell's, Trump said Wednesday, ahead of the highly anticipated meeting with Xi later this week. He touted the chip as super duper and said NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang recently bought a version of the accelerator to the Oval Office. I'm sure he also bought a gold bar with him, or maybe a gold crown. More about that in a little bit. NVIDIA stock up another 3.8% ahead of the open, $208.70. That puts the market cap of NVIDIA over $5 trillion. Have fun with that one. And then this afternoon, of course, AI spending is what matters most in Alphabet and Microsoft earnings. Why are we even calling these earnings? They're going to report their spending. Nobody cares if these companies make money ever. It's all about how much money they're spending to see if we can support this endless growth in NVIDIA's revenue. We'll get clarity this afternoon. Artificial intelligence is so essential to the three-year bull market in U.S. stocks that updates on spending and progress developing the technology are what investors most want to see when the world's biggest tech companies report earnings. Microsoft, Alphabet, and Meta Platforms kick things off with their results on Wednesday afternoon, with Amazon and Apple following on Thursday. They represent about 25% of the weight in the S&P 500 index. Wall Street will be closely parsing outlooks on AI expenditures and examining any updates on when they expect to start seeing returns on those investments. Returns on investments, silly rabbit. This is big tech. We don't actually make money. We just burn it. Let's see what else we have here. To keep the rally going, the money spigot needs to remain open. And the tech giants will have to start showing substantial returns on those investments, which none of them have. So far, revenue from AI is most evident in cloud computing businesses such as Microsoft's Azure and Alphabet's Google Cloud. Check out the video I did about the funny money in the AI bubble. I'm talking about data center credits. When they say most of the revenue that they're seeing from AI, it's not even real money. It's the redemption of their silly coupons for free GPU rentals that they're using to buy stakes in cash-burning AI startups. So even those numbers, it's not even real money. But those are just as good as money. Those are IOUs. Oh, see here, $13 billion for data center credits with OpenAI. Might want to hold on to that one. Disappointing growth from those units would likely raise questions about the AI trade. We're really interested in any proof points about AI monetization and usage. Again, there aren't any, even if it's anecdotal about deployments, said Shayhan Bakke, who's basically like, please just make something up, guys. Give us a story, anything about somebody making money with this bullshit. Cloud growth, CapEx, supply, demand, monetization, any of that will go a long way to alleviating concerns about the durability of AI spending. And look at how desperate Wall Street is to show that somebody out there besides NVIDIA is making money. And again, I keep saying it, guys, nobody is. NVIDIA is the only one making money. And that's why this whole thing is fake. And because nobody is making money, NVIDIA has to give them money so they can buy NVIDIA's product. That's called round tripping, circular accounting. Been saying it for 2 years. Oh, this is going to be just magnificent watching this go up in flames. And of course, this is why I call it all the great game of CapEx chicken. All right, two cars steaming towards each other, about to crash into each other, and whoever comes to their senses first and swerves loses. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Satya? Is it going to be Jensen? Is it going to be, not Jensen, Satya? Who's the Sundar? Maybe it'll be Mark. Somebody's got to stop lighting their investors' money on fire. Sooner or later, investors will demand it. Is that today? I don't know. Probably not. Meanwhile, we've got some movement in the trade front. China purchases first cargoes of U.S. soybeans this season. Farmers have been waiting for this one. Maybe it's too little too late, but at least it's something. China has bought at least two cargoes of U.S. soybeans, its first known purchase this season, which may mark a revival of flows as part of a wider settlement expected to be agreed between the two biggest economies this week. The shipments are booked for loading and possible delivery later this year, according to people familiar with the matter. They, of course, asked not to be identified. Chinese and U.S. officials reached a broad framework agreement over the weekend in Malaysia, paving the way for Chinese leader Xi Jinping and U.S. President Donald Trump to finalize a trade deal that would roll back many of the tariffs, fees, and export restrictions threatened or implemented in recent weeks. The two are due to meet on Thursday. So we've got 180,000 tons of soybeans. Again, a drop in the bucket, but at least it's movement. I'm guessing that this is more a symbolic gesture by the Chinese to show that they're serious here in order to get Trump and Xi to sign on the dotted line, play nice in the sandbox for a few minutes before hopefully nobody says anything stupid and the whole thing falls apart. But at the very least, it's moving. Let me go back to the commodities board real quick, and I want to show you guys soybean futures here. Let's bring this one up, and let's go look. I don't know. Let's show a couple of days here. No, not that one. Where is it here? Here, 1 hour, 1 hour candles. You can see it in soybean futures. On Sunday, when we had the announcement of progress, we had a little bit of a step change in soybean futures on that announcement. They grinded higher a little bit until about midnight. And I think around midnight is probably when that deal was announced. And then we had a little bit of a selling on the news with that one. So soybean futures remain at these slightly elevated levels versus where they were a few days ago. All right, we've also got some movement on the South Korean front. South Korea announces lowering of some tariffs as part of new U.S. trade deal. Again, there's a lot going on at this meeting in South Korea, this ASEAN summit, Asia Pacific, whatever they're calling it. The U.S. and South Korea have reached a broad trade deal, both countries have said, following talks between their leaders. South Korea's presidential aide, Kim Jong-un, said the two sides will keep reciprocal tariffs at 15%, as we agreed earlier this year, but that the taxes on car and car parts would be lowered. That's a big one there. Auto industry obviously having its share of problems here, so that will be some relief to car makers. South Korea will also invest $350 billion in the U.S., including $200 billion in cash investment and $150 billion in shipbuilding, Kim said. That $150 billion in shipbuilding, that goes hand in hand with the announcement we had earlier this week with the Japanese. That is a big one there, a big vulnerability for the United States and its industrial base is shipbuilding, especially as we seem like we are just steamrolling towards a naval conflict with China, the world's biggest shipbuilder. And if you're going to get into a fight on the water with the world's biggest shipbuilder, you better be able to build your own ships. Right now, we can't. U.S. President Donald Trump, who is currently on a week-long trip in Asia, said the deal was pretty much finalized. Couldn't help but notice that pretty much there. At a dinner following the discussions, which lasted almost 2 hours, he did not give further details. Allow me to give further details, guys. This deal hinges on a currency swap. All right, that's the deal. South Korea needs to get a way or have a way to obtain dollars without selling their own currency to buy those dollars in the open Forex markets, which would crash the South Korean won and send the Dixie higher. Now, typically, the way you do that is with a swap line. We just did something similar with Argentina in an effort to prop up the Milei regime, that $20 billion swap line that was announced last week. I suspect there will be something similar to that with the South Koreans in order to get this trade deal, this $330 billion and the $150 billion in shipbuilding investments done. All right, on to the earnings front. Boeing books a $4.9 billion charge with the 777X jet moved to 2027. Yikes. Boeing announced a $4.9 billion accounting charge and delayed the debut for its 777X jetliner, a reminder of the long recovery ahead for the U.S. plane maker, even as rising aircraft deliveries bolster its cash. The non-cash write-down, which was previously reported by Bloomberg News, overshadowed third-quarter earnings with a $7.47 loss per share that was wider than the $4.44 deficit predicted by analysts. Revenue was $23.27 billion compared with $22.3 billion average estimate. So top-line beat, bottom-line miss. The plane maker has recorded almost $16 billion in total charges for the 777X, a strategically important aircraft that is running 7 years behind schedule amid tough regulatory scrutiny and is now scheduled to enter service in 2027. A lot of sevens in that sentence. The latest charge shows how CEO Kelly Ortberg still faces multiple challenges to stabilize the company, even as Boeing benefits from surging aircraft orders with support from the Trump administration. Boeing stock doing all right here, all things considered, down 1.4%. It was down significantly more than that ahead of the opening bell here, $219.56 for Boeing. Year to date, this one is up about 26%, well off its lows from the various scandals that the company was facing last year. CVS also taking a big charge on their earnings. CVS boosts 2025 profit outlook, but takes a $5.7 billion charge. CVS Health Corp raises 2025 profit guidance for a third time in less than 6 months, a sign that it's set a new foundation this year, or a year into CEO David Joyner's tenure, even as the company struggles with underperforming business units and pressure from Washington. The healthcare conglomerate posted third quarter adjusted earnings of $1.60 per share, beating analysts' expectations, and boosted its full year outlook to as much as $6.65 a share. Company also wrote down the value of its Oak Street primary care clinics for seniors by $5.7 billion as it plans to shrink the foundering business that it bought for $10.6 billion in 2023. They just wrote down this business they bought 2 years ago. They wrote it down by more than half. That goes to show you the struggles with the private equity industry, guys. This isn't a private equity story, but this is the same, a symptom of the same thing that's plaguing private equity. All these companies paid too much for businesses in the earlier part of this decade when cash was flying around the system like crazy. Now those businesses are zombie companies with no earnings. Liquidity is getting tighter. Interest rates are higher. And these companies are just not worth what they claim they are. CVS taking a huge write down on Oak Street here. Every private equity firm in the country, and there's more private equity firms than there are McDonald's in the United States, every single one of them is going to have to start writing down their holding companies like this. Or, you know, they can keep creating continuation vehicles and continuation vehicles or continuation vehicles and secondaries and tertiary offerings. Sure, all this cockamamie crap, sooner or later, you got to take the loss. It will close 16 clinics by the end of February. It doesn't plan to open any in 2026. CVS isn't considering selling the business, probably because they can't find a buyer. The company's Aetna insurance unit had struggled to properly price its plans in recent years, which led to a leadership shakeup last October. Improved operations in its insurance unit was primarily responsible for the strong performance, the company said in a statement. Now, it's also important to note that CVS had a lot of negativity built into its share price, and so the stock is actually rallying 2.3% on this news. And year to date, well, look at that. Well, let's zoom out a little bit more. Let's go back 5 years. All right, you go back 5 years, you can kind of see CVS has had a fantastic 2025, but we're starting from a pretty significant low because the stock sold off for 2.5 years before that. So not quite back to 2022 valuations for this one, taking a big hit on that company they paid too much money for. Meanwhile, Caterpillar, great earnings from Caterpillar. They top estimates as sales soar on energy equipment. Caterpillar posted higher third quarter revenue with its energy and transport business boosting earnings amid rising demand for equipment needed to fuel data centers for artificial intelligence. Oh, yeah, those climate-conscious AI gurus. You know, those effective altruists who want us all to eat bugs. They're putting big, giant diesel generators on their data centers. The heavy equipment maker posted adjusted earnings per share of $4.95, compared with an average of $4.51 by analysts. That's according to Wednesday's statement. Revenue from its main operating segments rose 10% to $16.7 billion, led by the Energy and Transportation Unit. The division, which provides battery storage and backup generators for industries, has been Caterpillar's fastest growing segment, outpacing its more traditional businesses that make heavy duty equipment for construction and mining. Investors hungry for exposure to a boom in AI have been piling in on shares of old line industrial companies that make equipment used to generate power for data centers. Caterpillar stock is ripping this morning, up 9.5% on this news, $574.65 a share for Caterpillar. Meanwhile, we got some automotive news this morning, and it's not good. Mercedes-Benz Q3 earnings miss estimates amid declining vehicle sales. I thought the luxury spending was keeping this economy afloat. Somebody forgot to tell the luxury car makers. Mercedes-Benz reported a weaker-than-expected performance for the third quarter of 2025, with GAAP earnings per share of €1.22, falling short by about 9 euro cents. The company's revenue saw a significant drop to 32.15 billion euros, down 6.9% year over year, missing the consensus of 5.99 billion. Mercedes-Benz cars experienced a 12% decrease in vehicle sales. Yikes. Double-digit decrease in vehicle sales year over year. While Mercedes-Benz vans recorded an 8% decline in unit sales, despite a 10% boost in electrified model sales, total sales were impacted. The industry's business free cash flow also decreased. Terrible earnings for Mercedes-Benz, and yet the market was expecting terribler. Stock is up 6% on a 12% decline in vehicle sales. Now, year to date, company stock is also up a little bit higher here, and over a five-year period, stock is also up. So shares in this company doing exceedingly well considering what they just reported. And we got some more bad news in the auto space here. Automaker production stoppages begin over semiconductor shortage. More fallout from this Nexperia story that we've been covering on our streams. This Dutch chip maker that's actually a Chinese-owned company that the government in the Netherlands seized, mostly I think because the United States told them to. Then they're like, no chips for you. Now automakers are shutting down factories. Automakers are growing increasingly anxious about a shortage of simple microchips causing production disruptions, which started this week at Honda. Plants in North America are expected to spread around, starting this week at Honda plants in North America and are expected to spread around the world. The global car industry has been fretting about the potential fallout over Nexperia, a Netherlands-based chip maker, after the company stopped exporting products from China earlier this month. The issue, which stems from an unusual geopolitical dispute involving the Dutch, Chinese, and U.S. governments, has left some automakers and suppliers with low chip supplies that could run out in the coming days, people familiar with the matter say. These are not very strategic components, but there are hundreds of them, small microprocessors in the lock systems, climate control, speedometers, or whatever, Volvo CEO Håkan Samuelsson told the Wall Street Journal. On Monday, Honda cut production in half at its assembly plant in Alliston, Ontario, while workers assemble Civic sedans and CR-V sport utility vehicles, and will stay slowed through Wednesday, said Vito Beto, president of Unifor Local 1285, which represents workers at the supplier's plant. In a video posted to Facebook, he said the plant is scheduled to be down for a week starting on Thursday, then resume half production late next week. By the way, Mish also found one this morning about plants. Honda plants in Mexico are also shutting down. So Canada, Honda plants, Mexico, Honda plants, more plants expected to shut down from this. Maybe this deal that we're going to hear in South Korea is going to alleviate this. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about Nexperia being on the menu in these trade talks, but it's already starting to show. And look, guys, we got to talk about this. All of these problems that we have seen recently, the Tricolor bankruptcy, the First Brands bankruptcy, Primalend going bankruptcy. Now I'm starting to hear about First Help, another subprime auto lender. Their bonds are starting to decline drastically because of rising delinquencies. Car delinquencies on the rise, record rates of car repossessions, the highest since 2009. All the while, Carvana, the biggest subprime auto seller in the country, their stock has rallied 9,000%. All right. One of these things is not like all the others. And I can tell you there's a lot of short seller reports on Carvana that have made some very serious allegations. And Carvana is a very opaque company. They're basically a closed-end outfit. The company buys its cars from a related party. They sell their cars. They finance with related parties. Related party does the repossessions, and then the cars go right back on Carvana's lot. So there's not a lot of outside eyes looking in at this company that would give us any clues that something is wrong here until something goes catastrophically wrong. So this company stock has risen 9,000% while everybody else in the subprime auto space has struggled. Scrutinize these earnings, guys. Look very closely. Actually open the thing up and read it. Maybe some of you accounting types can take a look at this and let me know what you guys see in there. I expect some dirtbaggery from their earnings. They report after the rally this afternoon or after the close this afternoon, along with all the big tech companies. And we got to wrap up the show with a 2020s bingo update. Who had truck hauling monkeys infected with hepatitis C, herpes, and COVID overturns on Mississippi Highway, monkeys on the loose on their 2020s bingo card? Who had that one? Oh my God, STD infected monkeys, a truck full of them. Who's driving these slutty monkeys around and why? Where are they going? I suspect this was medical research is probably what was going on here. But the truck turned over and you got a bunch of disease-infested monkeys running around Mississippi. Strange things happen in the South. Guys, if you're in Mississippi and you come across a monkey, let's keep our heads screwed on straight, all right? This is not the time to go getting creative with the monkeys. You might catch something. Good God, this decade, and it's only halfway over. Hepatitis and herpes-infected monkeys turns over on a highway. Sick monkeys on the loose. Gotta love it. Hey, I just want to say thank you very much. Mr. Metal Seer says, just to kick off the super chats. Well, thank you, Metal Seer. I see your super chat. Thank you for kicking that off. By the way, metal's looking really good today, guys. Premiums are on the rise. You physical stackers out there, American and Silver Eagle premiums, $7 to $9 now. One thing, though, junk silver, the 90%, is still cheap. I saw a video on Silver Seeker last night that says even some wholesalers are now not buying the 90% silver. The refiners stopped buying it about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Now the wholesalers have stopped buying it. Maybe even some coin shops are going to stop buying it, which means it's going to be on sale. You can already get junk silver for less than spot. You'd probably be able to get it for a lot less than spot soon. So keep an eye out for deals in the metal space, even as premiums are rising elsewhere. Thanks again, Metal Seer, for supporting the channel. Matt Peterson, thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. He says, been listening for free all summer. Thanks for all you do. Matt, I'm happy to have you with us. Thank you very much, sir, for the good vibes this morning and for supporting the channel. Happy that you are enjoying the channel, sir. Nacho Man, oh, a pink one. Thank you, Nacho Man. I appreciate the generosity, sir. He says, your video yesterday was great, Jack. Talking about the video I did with my chicken, Doomberg. I was going to say my man, Doomberg, but no, he's a chicken. Yeah, he's of the avian persuasion. We had Doomberg on the channel to talk about what's going on in South America. There's been a lot of intersecting stories in South America, the buildup of naval assets, prospects for war with Venezuela, which Doomberg seems to think it's almost inevitable. Developments with Colombia, the swap lines with Argentina, the Chinese buying Argentinian and Brazilian soybeans instead of ours, which has now been somewhat alleviated, the Argentine cattle purchases, which left our farmers in the lurch. A lot of interesting stories going on in South America. So I talked about that one for about a half hour with Doomberg yesterday. Always enjoy his geopolitical perspectives, especially as it pertains to energy. And of course, oil has its fingerprints all over these stories in South America. So thank you so much, Nacho Man, both for the generosity and for the good words. Check out that video I did with Doomberg. Guys, it is going to be a busy afternoon. A lot of big tech earnings. The Fed, Carvana's one to watch. We got gold rallying here, stocks at all-time highs, more problems in private credit. Just keep your head on a swivel, guys. Be careful on leverage. Hey, Madison, I see you sneaking one in there at the end. Thank you so much. Says, run my own dispensary and GPT is worth every penny. A dispensary running GPT Interesting. Madison, do me a favor, Madison. If you get a chance, if you don't mind, shoot me an email. How does that work? What does a dispensary use GPT for? Interesting theory. Glad it's working out for you. By the way, my email address, you can find that on the about section of the channel once you prove you're not a robot or once you prove you're not a Chrisbot. Thanks again, Madison. Hey, Chrisbot, how you doing? Prove you're not a bot. Those monkeys were infected by the socialist chatbot, libertarian Bitcoin goddess, and Janet Yellen. All right, the libertarian Bitcoin goddess, that's our Zhimin Zhiman, that lady, you know, the overweight libertarian god empress who rules over Liberland, although her $6.1 or $7 billion of Bitcoin being seized by the UK government may complicate matters for her takeover of Liberland. The pregnant socialist chatbot. We talked about that one yesterday. There was, I think they were Albanian, the Albanian pregnant socialist chatbot. And of course, Janet. Well, Janet, you might want to get yourself checked. That's all I'm saying. Maybe we should stop it there. This is getting dark real fast. Hey, Chris, thank you for supporting the channel. What, Jack? You don't want to hear from me? There's actually a perfectly reasonable explanation for that gathering with the socialist chatbot and the libertarian god empress and the monkeys. No, Janet, what you do in your own time is your business, Janet. You're no longer the labor secretary or the treasury secretary. You don't need, Jack, I'd really like to tell you the story. It really is quite interesting. No, Janet, I'm sorry. We're just going to have to leave that one up to the imagination here. It's a family show for crying out loud. What you do in your own time, that's your business. Hey, Chris, thanks for supporting the channel. Thanks, everybody else, for having their coffee with the Melon Heads this morning. Going to be a crazy afternoon. Head on a swivel, everybody. Thank you so much for the generosity in the Super Chats, as well as you magnanimous Melon Heads on YouTube and Patreon. Thank you guys so much for supporting the channel. Links down below should you feel so inclined. Don't forget that like button and subscribe button on the way out. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.